You're listening to the sermon audio from City Light Church in High Point, North Carolina. For more info on our service times and location, visit citylighthp.church. You're listening to the sermon audio from City Light Church in High Point, North Carolina. For more info on our service times and location, visit citylighthp.church.
Good morning. It is a joy and a privilege to be here and excited about the opportunity to come bring God's word. I do so appreciate your pastor, his wife. I think it was last summer you preached at my church, and just grateful for the friendship we have. And you have a good pastor and a very good pastor's wife. And my suggestion would be to keep them. That'd be my suggestion, because you are blessed. I've been around a lot of pastors, and his love for God's word, his love for you, his love for the city, is very evident as we talk and as we interact. So grateful for him. Also, Jake and Lauren. Jake was his dad's an elder at my church, and so I've known Jake and Lauren for Jake for the last 10 years, and so grateful for them. And it's been a joy just to be down here this weekend and be ministering myself and be able to ministering to you. But Matt asked me to come and preach God's word, so open the Bible up and let's get to God's word this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Is where we're going to be, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As you turn in there, let me ask you a question, because here's where I want to get this morning. Let me say this. I think my first slide is actually my family. I need to introduce my family to you. You saw my wife. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. I have 5 kids. My oldest is 19. He's a sophomore at college. And then I have 3 daughters, 17, 15, and 14. And then my youngest is 11. So that's my family. We moved to Pittsburgh about 12 years ago, and originally from Michigan. My wife's from Nebraska, and somehow we got to Pittsburgh. And it has been a journey and a joy that God has had us on. And the church that God allowed us to plant 12 years ago, or 11 and a half years ago, and just grateful for where we're at and where God has us. But my passion is to preach God's word, and I love to speak and open God's word up this morning. I'm excited about doing it. So here's the question I want to ask you, and I hope that as you leave today that you'll be able to answer this question, and is this: what does your walk look like? What does your walk look like? We're going to dive into that this morning. How many know who this man is right here? Anybody know who this individual is? If you do, I'm going to be really, really impressed. Okay, this man actually won gold in the Paris Olympics. He is the fastest walker in the world. You're impressed, aren't you? I know you are. He walked 13 miles, almost 13 miles. He goes about 10 miles an hour, and he won gold. The fastest walker in the world. I know you're just going to all put his picture up on your wall. And now, I was doing just a little research, and there's a whole bunch of different walks that are out there. Now, as you look at these walks, just kind of identify, what walk do you do? Okay, there's the brisk walking, which is the fast-paced. You know, someone who just continues to walk really fast. The casual walking, and maybe you're more this relaxed and the slower pace. There's the power walking, an intense form of walking used as a workout. There's the strutting. I mean, that's the confident walk. I'm not going to ask how many do that walk. There's the marching, the disciplined, rhythmic walking style, the tiptoeing, walking on one's toes, ambling, loose, slow steps, often changing direction or pace. I didn't even know that was a walk, okay? But I learned that. There's the strolling, the slower pace, enjoying the surroundings, the sauntering, which is relaxed pace with a bit of carefree or cocky attitude, or the shuffling, and maybe some of you do this, walking without lifting the feet very high off the ground. Okay, now, there is one walk. As I looked at this research of the different walks, there's one walk here that is missing. Anybody know what walk is missing from up here? Moonwalk. Yes, very good. The moonwalk. I am so impressed. The moonwalk, which is gliding backwards, but your body actually suggests you're moving forward, okay? Now, I don't know which walk that you do. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what walk that you do, okay? Right now, turn to the person next to you. What walk do you identify with most of the time? Now, you say, Jeremiah, why are we talking about the different walks? Well, Paul uses the metaphor of walking all through the scriptures. In Paul's writing, he uses this understanding of walking, and in our text today, we're going to see that really clearly. You see, walk in Paul's writing is how he explains, this is how we should live. We understand walking because we see it, we do it. But Paul is teaching his readers how they are to live and how they are to walk. What life should look like for them. And so as we dive into this, and I think you'll see this illustration and why it fits so well in the Christian life. So the question I want to ask you today is, how is your walk? Now, I'm not asking about your physical walk. You can have that talk later with your spouse, with someone else. I'm asking about your life walk. What is your walk? What does it look like? And I'm sure, metaphorically speaking, there are a whole bunch of different walks even here today. I've been in ministry now 22 years. I've been to numerous churches. And there's a lot of different walks that I see, even that come and sit in churches all across America. I'll give you a couple that I've seen. One, I'll say it's just the counterfeit walk. This is the person who pretends they are part of the family of God, that they come, but really they're just kind of faking it. They'll do their thing, and there's sometimes they've done this walk so well that they have deceived themselves in thinking that they have a better walk than what they do. There's the counterfeit walk. There's also, I'll call this person, or just the church walk. The church walk is the person that they're religious. I mean, they'll come to church, they serve, they walk out those doors, and they help old ladies across the street. I mean, they give, and they have this incredible church walk, but really it's all about praise from others. It really has never hit their heart. It's what we'd see in the scriptures of the Pharisees and the religious leaders and how they lived. The next walk I've seen in church is just the busy walk. This is the person that is characterized their life by just doing. They're always busy, not bad stuff per se, but just really busy, not really looking to further the kingdom of God, but more furthering their own kingdom. The walk, though, that I pray and I want to talk about today is the gospel walk. What is this gospel walk? This is the walk that I hope that before the time that I have here, before you walk out, that you will understand and you'll be able to ask yourself, do I have this gospel walk? Am I walking in the gospel? You say, Jeremiah, what is the gospel walk? I'll define it as this morning. The gospel walk embraces the story of the cross, follows Jesus' example, and lives for the kingdom of God. The gospel walk, yes, embraces the story of the cross, follows Christ's example, and lives for the kingdom of God. I want to unpack this today, and I believe we can see it here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You with me today, church? Okay, that was pretty good. Now listen, I tell my church, the more you're with me, the better I preach and the shorter I preach. Because if you're not with me, I got to circle the wagons a lot more. Okay, so you with me today, church? Okay, there we go. I knew it. And let's read our text today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're really just going to look in this one verse here this morning. It says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. This is God's word for us to obey today. There's one other verse that I do want us to kind of go off of also, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It pretty much says the same thing. Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You see, these two verses here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in Ephesians 1, what I want to dive into is Paul is using this metaphor of walking. And we actually, though, I told you, it's all through the scriptures. Just so that you believe me, look at some of these other texts that Paul talks about walking. Romans chapter 6, walk in the newness of life. Romans 8, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit and you not carry out the desires of the flesh. Ephesians 2, you once walk in the desires of the flesh. Ephesians 2, you should walk in them. Ephesians 5, walk as children of the light. Philippians chapter 3, keep your eyes on those who walk according to the examples you have in us. And it goes on, Colossians chapter 1, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Colossians 2, you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. Thessalonians, you walk worthy of God. It goes on. Even the Apostle John talks about some of this walking that we're supposed to do. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. 2 John, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. 3 John, you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Listen, I'm trying to let you see that this metaphor of walking, we see all through the scriptures. So what is this walk? This way of life that we're supposed to be living, what does it look like? If I could, just to kind of get your mind start to think, and you don't have to write these down, but just look at some of these questions that we can kind of start to get our mind thinking, what is my walk? What does my walk really look like? So what direction is your life taking right now? What are you passionate about? You don't know what your walk is? Then I'll ask you, what are you passionate about? What's always on your mind? What makes you feel fulfilled? Maybe a simple question would be, what's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning? You probably know what really you're all about or what you're passionate about or the direction that your walk is by what you think about. Those first 10 minutes, what comes to your mind first? Because probably what's most important in your life is going to come to your mind right then, those first 10 minutes. Now, let's look and see what Paul tells here to the church at Thessalonica. Let's walk through this verse. It starts with saying, finally. He said, let me give you the rest. I love this about the Apostle Paul because he had still half of this letter still to write. And he says, finally. I mean, this is most pastors right here, right? You say, I'm almost done. And then they still have another long time after that. So I love the Apostle. Finally, he says, then brothers. Now, I don't actually like how the ESV says it here. Even in the footnote, the ESV says brothers and sisters. I don't think he's just talking to men here. He's talking to the church here at Thessalonica. And so he is saying brothers and sisters. And so please understand, ladies, this is for you also today. So finally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus. Here's the first thing that you know about the walk is the urgency of the walk. Is the urgency. You see it? Paul says here, we urge you. He says it also in Ephesians chapter 4. I urge you to do this. If you have a King James version, it says, I beseech you. The word means to beg. It means I'm really praying that you do this. This is really important. Paul knows how important this is to their life. Paul knows that this walk is not something that should be taken lightly. You see, the problem where many fade is we don't see the urgency of our walk. It's not that we're not people of urgency. We know how to be urgent. We know how to really focus on some things. But I don't know if we see the importance of this gospel walk, this how we're supposed to live. Maybe it's because we don't know why this walk is so important. You say, Jeremiah, if I'm supposed to be urgent about this walk, then why is this walk so important? Here's the second truth I want you to see is the foundation of the walk. Is the foundation of the walk. I want to use the verse in Ephesians more for this one because Ephesians 4, it says this, and yes, the whole book of Thessalonica is communicating the same thing, but Paul makes it a little more clear in Ephesians 4, 1, where he says, walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Paul is saying, listen, here is the foundation. He says it also in chapter 5. He says, you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of the light. Listen, church, this is very important. The foundation of the walk is the gospel. The foundation of the walk is the gospel. We have this walk because of our calling, because we have been called out of darkness now into light, because of this amazing calling, because of what our salvation is. You see, the whole book of Ephesians is broken down really into two sections. The Ephesians 1 through 3, it talks about our salvation. It talks about what Christ has done for us. It talks how we were dead in our sins and how he made us alive together in Christ. And so it lays down Ephesians 1 through 3, how incredible our salvation is. And it gets to the end of chapter 3, and we start in chapter 4, and he starts by saying, now, because of how incredible your salvation is, because how amazing is what Christ has done for you, because you see this, because you know he has rescued you from darkness, he says, now walk worthy of this calling. You see, listen, If you don't get Ephesians 1 through 3, if you don't get how incredible your salvation is, you will not understand the walk that God has called you to walk. If you don't realize what he has rescued you from, if you don't understand how incredible the gospel story is, you're not going to understand the walk that he's called you to walk. And the reason why I see many not have the urgency in their gospel walk is because they don't truly understand and have wrapped their mind and grasped how incredible their salvation is and what the story of the gospel is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, Paul is saying here, he knows the price that was paid for you to have this gospel walk. He knows how amazing it is that we can walk this way. And so Paul says, walk worthy of this. When you understand what Jesus has done for you, he says, walk worthy of this walk. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that you once walked after the course of this world, after the prince of the power of the air. This is what you once did. This is who you used to be. But he's saying, listen, your walk has changed. You see, when we are saved, we are brought into the family of God, and we're given a new walk. Your walk should not look the same. If your walk did not change and your life did not change, then that means you're still in this verse right here. Now, please hear me. It's not perfection that we have to get to, and we're going to talk about that. We see that even here in this verse. We'll get to that in a moment. But our walk, our life should change if the gospel has come and taken over us. There is a change that must take place. He's saying your walk's not going to look the same. It's not going to look how it used to be. It's not just adding Jesus to your walk that you had. No, it's a complete takeover. I'll give this illustration. I know here in your area, there's a rival right against the Duke Blue Devils and the Tar Heels, okay? I don't know which side you're on in that. But let's just say there was, and I enjoy college basketball, and so I've kind of always watched that basketball and that rival. Let's just say there was a player that played for Duke, but he was about to transfer, and he went around telling all his friends, I'm transferring to the Tar Heels. Now, somebody would be like, amen, it's about time. Now, and you say, so he was going to transfer, but yes, he said he did that, but he didn't change any of his wardrobe. He continued to wear the Duke Blue Devils shirts and the hats. He continued to go to the Duke Blue Devils practices. He continued to cheer for the Duke Blue Devils. Now, you would look at him and say, you're not really transferring to the Tar Heels. Your walk shows nothing like you're about to change from being a Duke Blue Devil to a Tar Heel. It's not happening. Why? Because his walk did not demonstrate, his walk did not show what his words were saying. Listen, please hear me. The foundation of your walk is such an incredible story of what Jesus did. And Paul is saying the motivation for us to walk this gospel walk is because of our salvation and how he has changed us and given us a new walk. And he says, walk worthy of this. Walk worthy of it. You see, there is a privilege that Paul is almost saying. A joy. I'll call it even a reward. Because here's the third one, is the reward of the walk. Because we have this privilege. You can put privilege of the walk too. Both of those words is what I want to say here. Because look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. Look at the text. It says, we urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that if you receive from us how you ought to walk. And look at this next line. And to please God. And to please God. Wow, this is how we please the God of the universe. Right here, don't miss this. Like, this is a pretty big deal right here. How we please God. Now, I know theologically this concept, for some of you say, what do you mean to please God? What does that really mean? What does it mean to please God? I'm sure some of you have made this statement or heard someone say the statement before. There's nothing that you can do to make God more pleased with you than he already is right now. I'll tell you, that sounds good, but I think it cheapens the gospel. It teaches something inaccurate about the walk that we have. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. They say, why would it be Paul's goal if everything he did was pleasing God? No, he says, this is my aim. This is my purpose. This is what I'm going after, is to please him. He also says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, he says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. He says, am I trying to please man or am I trying to please God? No, of course, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm trying to please God. There's one more that we see, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. He's praying for the church at Colossae, and he says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. His prayer for the church at Colossae was, listen, I want you to, in your walk, fully please God. We have to understand that Paul is admonishing us to walk worthy of the calling because it pleases God, which means if we don't walk this way, that we're not pleasing to God. Now, some of you are still like, I don't know if I get that. Let me explain it this way. How many of you have ever, you've watched kids, you have kids of your own, and you sit down at the dinner table and you're trying to get them to eat something they don't really want to eat? And I have five kids. And so have this, and you know, I'm not trying to be mean way, but we feel like our kids need to at least try everything, and at least if mom spent the time eating it, they should at least, you know, put a couple bites in their mouth. And so we've kind of walked down there with our kids. And if you've ever had kids or walked with kids, you kind of get some of that. Oh, there's one of my daughters at one time that we were sitting down and we said, why don't you at least try it? Why don't you eat a couple bites? And this wasn't because she probably didn't even like it and like the texture. It was just her will against dad's will. But you understand that? I've been there before. And so we said, you got to take a couple bites. So she put it in her mouth. She took the bite, but she didn't swallow it. And so she sat right there in her cheek. It just kind of sat there. And we said, you have to swallow it. Like you can't just put it. You got to swallow it. And so he said, but you can sit there until you do, okay? I said, you sit there. When you swallow it, you can get off done. You can get off the table, or you can get done. You can be done. She sat there. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I mean, we had cleared the table by now. I let all the other kids go. You know, we're just kind of like, okay. And at this point, it was. Is this dad's will or her will? The food wasn't even food anymore. It was just mush in the side of her mouth. Because she took a little drink at one point, and so some of it was even just coming down her mouth. You know, it was just sitting there. 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes later. I don't know if she swallowed it or if it just disintegrated in her mouth. I don't know. But by 45 minutes, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you think I was pleased with my daughter at that time? No. Now, did I love my daughter? Yes. Like, if our house would have went up in flames and she was stuck under the table, I would not have said, because you didn't eat that, I'm going to leave you here. No. I would pick her up and I would take her and I would rescue her. Why? Because I love my daughter. But at that point, at that time, I wasn't pleased with how she was acting. Church, please hear me. Our salvation, our calling into the family of God is not based on what we do or what we do not do. Jesus died for us before we even loved him, period. What I do does not accept me into the family of God. Just as my kids do not earn the right to be a Canfield. They are a Canfield. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. It is no works that I can do. I am part of God's family, and as part of God's family, I have security in heaven with Jesus. But now, our desire should be, our aim, our goal should be to please him with our lives. Why? Because we see how incredible our salvation is. We see what he's done for us. We see what he's rescued us from. We see where we would be without him. And because of that, we walk worthy. You see, Paul is not trying to scare us here and say, make sure your walk is pleasing to God. Make sure you walk. No, he's saying, because of the calling to which you've been called, let your walk be pleasing to God. And it makes sense when we understand our calling, when we understand what he's done for us. Listen, the reason why I try in my church to continue to go back and help them understand the beauty of the gospel, because it is what we need for every day of our life. You see, the gospel was not just something that you got at salvation and you said, okay, that's a nice story and I'll put it on the shelf in my room. No, I need to continue to be in, understand, and dwell in the gospel, because it's the reason why I'm going to continue to walk and live. Because when we look back at what Christ did for us, and you show me somebody who is starting to see their Christian life just kind of get mundane and kind of pointless, what I will tell them is go back to the gospel and understand what Jesus did for you. Because when we understand what he has done for us, then it is our privilege, it is our reward, it is our blessing to be able to please him. There's a quote that I read. It says this. It says, God is not apathetic to our obedience. He has committed his own joy to it. Knowing that our obedience has the ability to bring happiness to the God of the galaxies is an incredible motivation. And knowing that our disobedience can bring God grief and sorrow keeps us from treating sin lightly. You see, we need to understand how important it is that we walk worthy of this calling. That how we walk, it either pleases God or displeases God. We need to take our walk seriously. And so let me ask you again, the question I asked you at the beginning is, how's your walk today? Is your walk pleasing to him? Now, I know there are some of you that say, Jeremiah, my walk could never be pleasing to God. I should be so much farther than I am. And we beat ourselves up because we think we should be so much farther in life. Here's the fourth truth I want to give you, is the encouragement of the walk. Look at the text. I love this statement right here. He says this, and to please God just as you are doing, but that you do more and more. I love that statement. Just as you are doing, other translations say, as in fact you are living, or you live this way already, just as you actually do walk. The line has literally been one of the most encouraging lines to me in God's word. You say, why, Jeremiah? Because God is not looking for perfection. He says, listen, yes, I want you here just as you are doing. You are pleasing God, but I want you to do it more. You're not done. The process in your life is not done. So keep going, Jeremiah. Because you don't have to be perfect in order to please God. You don't have to have arrived at some place. It's not when you get to this place in your Christian life, then you'll be pleasing to God. No, the encouragement is this, keep walking. Listen, how many of you ever thought in your life, I should be farther in my spiritual life? I have. I thought I should be farther. I mean, my dad was a preacher. I grew up in church. I've been saved for over 30 years. Like, I should be farther. And sometimes it's easy for me to get in my life and to beat myself up and go, I should be so much farther. So there's no way that God could ever be pleased. And I go to this verse and I say, yes, okay, God is pleased as long as I am walking. What God doesn't want me to do is to sit and to stop. And so we keep walking. We keep going. We don't give up. We don't stop. So listen, are you growing in your walk with Jesus right now? Are you growing in your love for Jesus? Let me ask you this question. I think I asked the guys this on Friday night. Are you more in love with Jesus today than you were 6 months ago? Now, as you look over this last year, do you see your love for Jesus growing? Are you moving right now in your walk? Or have you sat down? And see, the last truth here is the perseverance of the walk. Because Paul says, still do it more and more. Listen, don't give up on it. Keep doing it. Don't stop walking. Listen, you will not arrive at that place until eternity. Perfection will not be there until eternity. But until that comes, listen, keep walking. Keep persevering. Don't stop. One step at a time. Church, hear me. Don't get overwhelmed in the Christian life. Just keep walking. One step. This last summer, my family and I, we got to go on a mission trip to Scotland, and I took my two oldest kids with me. And there's a church over there we got to speak at and do some mission work with. And they took us one afternoon on a trail and on a mountain, pretty much, and had to walk up this and hike this mountain. And this was a lot of what the mountain looked like was like this. There was a trail that you had to walk, and they had placed these stones. And so you walked up this mountain, and I'll be honest, I didn't have the right shoes on. I didn't know we were going to do this. And so here I start to walk up this mountain. And I'll tell you, when you look ahead at the mountain, it was pretty straight up at times. And going from one step to the next step was hard. I was tired, and I took one step at a time. That's about as far as I could kind of even concentrate, was just, okay, go up, next step, Jeremiah, next step. I'll tell you, the walk was hard at times. It was difficult. When I looked ahead, it didn't look like any better. And all I could see was just rocks and this tall hill in front of me. It wasn't easy. But when I got to the top and I turned around and looked, it was amazing. It was beautiful. And I'll tell you, it was worth it. It was worth it when I got to the top. Yeah, even in that picture, the rocks are there, but you really don't focus on that because you see the beauty of it. There was a group of us that did it, and I'll be honest, I probably would not have made it without other people around me either. Because I knew if I stopped, they were going to keep going, so I had to keep going. That might have been my pride or whatever, but I just had to keep going. Please hear me. I'm not going to tell you your walk with Jesus is going to be easy. It's not. God never promised us a bed of roses. I don't know what you're walking through right now. I don't know what trials you're going through. I don't know what things are being tested in your life. And it might be that you are taking just one step at a time and the rocks seem hard and difficult and you don't want to continue on because when you look just a little ahead, all you see are more rocks. But please hear me. When we get to heaven, you know, Christ comes back and he makes all things new. Church, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And I'll tell you, you need one another to keep walking. You need a body of Christ to help you take those gospel steps. You weren't supposed to do it alone. You need one another. And so my question that I asked you from the beginning, what's your walk look like? But what gospel step do you need to take today? What gospel step do you need to take? Say, Jeremiah, what are some of those gospel steps? Maybe it's the gospel step of forgiveness. Maybe there's someone here in this room, maybe someone sitting next to you or someone that you know that you need to forgive them. That's a gospel step. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about we forgive like Christ forgave us. You see, when we understand the gospel, we understand how Christ has forgiven us, then how can we walk out and withhold forgiveness from somebody else? When we realize what Christ has done for us, maybe the gospel step for you this week is to forgive somebody that you are holding on to and you are putting a wall up and not forgiving them. Maybe that gospel step is someone that you need to witness to. Maybe someone in your neighborhood, at your workplace, that you need to share the good news of Jesus with. Maybe that gospel step is that you need to be baptized. It talks about a baptism coming up. Maybe you need to be one to be baptized too, and you need to talk to one of your pastors and say, I need to be doing that because that's a step of obedience. That's a gospel step. Maybe that gospel step for you is getting up in the morning and reading your Bible. Maybe that gospel step is parenting the way that God has called us to, or having a marriage that pictures the gospel. Maybe that gospel step is saying no to something that is controlling your life right now that you know shouldn't be. Listen, what gospel step do you need to take? When we understand what Jesus has done, we realize the privilege we have to please him. Listen, I pray that City Light Church will not be a church that just comes and sings about the gospel, a church that comes and hears the preaching of the word about the gospel, that may at times as you take communion, hear the story of the gospel, and then you walk out those doors and not live the gospel. Like, we can get all excited about the gospel and hearing the story of Jesus and, yes, how he saved us. And we can clap our hands and we can shout and say, yes, hallelujah. And we can say, this is great. But listen, if we don't walk out those doors and live the gospel, then what is it really doing? Is it really transforming our hearts and our lives? Do we really understand the gospel is not just for in this room? The gospel is not just to sing about. No, it's how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk. It's supposed to motivate and prioritize in everything that we do. So my challenge to you is this morning is I want to inspire you to take your next gospel step. I don't know what it is for you. It's not the same for me as it is for you. What is it that God's calling you, and what does that gospel step need to look like for you today? What is your next gospel step? Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to stand here in a moment, and we're going to sing a song about the gospel. But before we do, will you go to God right now and just answer that question? Answer that question of, God, what is my next gospel step? What do you want me to do? Maybe you're here today and you don't even know if you're part of the family of God because your walk really has never changed. Listen, let today be the day of your salvation. Don't leave. Come talk to myself. Talk to one of your pastors. Let us show you how you can get on this gospel walk. How he can change your walk from being one in darkness now into light. But maybe you're here and you know that you are in the light, but you're not walking that way. Then will you let today take one step, and let your gospel walk be pleasing to God. Father, I come before you right now and God, acknowledge that we need you. God, you know every heart that is here. You know every life that is here. God, you know where they're at. You know what their walk looks like. They can deceive themselves. They can deceive the person next to them. They can deceive other people. They can't deceive you. And so, God, will you let us be, as individuals, a church, Lord, that walks worthy of this incredible calling that you've given to us. Lord, we have a hope. We have a joy. Because of what Christ did. So God, I pray that as we walk out these doors today, that we would live